Well, we just sang "The Peace Like a River in My Soul." I don't know about you, but sometimes my river's got some whitewater rapids. I don't know. But I could use a peace like a river sometimes. Well, it's good to be back tonight. And
yes, it is.
June, how many services have you done today?
This is the third one.
The third one today. Yeah. So he's.
I took a nap right there. I found out when you wake up, your back is not the same.
And you have a lot of phone calls listed.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, well, tonight our subject matter is, again, angels. We're going to end our series on angels tonight. At least that's my intention. For the last about 10 sessions, we've been talking about elect angels and evil angels. And tonight, going to be kind of focusing on the evil end of the angelic realm. I'm going to kind of discuss a little bit of dealing with demons and some do's as well as some don'ts. One really big don't, but we're gonna that's what's on tap tonight, so we'll see if we can get through it. And we'll go ahead and start off with a word of prayer and then get into it. And again, if anybody, you want to jump in with some questions or comments or whatever, please feel free. It is an open forum. But we'll start off with prayer. Our Father, Lord, we do thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who took everything that we are and gave us everything that he is. We thank you for his life. His death, for his resurrection, for giving us his righteousness. Lord, for the gift of your Spirit, who has made us alive in Christ and is sanctifying us through and through. We thank you for his word that you have inspired and instruct us tonight as we think a little bit about the spirit realm, what is usually just behind the veil to us, but we thank you for revealing things to us. And Lord, keep us within the guardrails of your word and from going out of bounds. And I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, dealing with demons. Now, demons are, they're angels. They're just fallen angels, you know. So they were holy angels that rebelled against God, followed Satan in his rebellion against our Lord. And when we think about the subject matter of demons, I do want to put a warning at the first. I think we need to guard against an undue fascination with demons. Sometimes that happens in church circles, and there comes a lot of talk, you know, there's a demon behind every rock, or people say, you know, the devil made me do it, and, you know, and so that, I think there can be an undue attention given to this realm. But the scripture does talk about it, and we do need to be aware of demons and demonic activity, because there is a warfare that us as believers we do have with the demonic realm. And I don't know how you would assess our society just in looking at things, but I would say that our society is experiencing an onslaught and an attack, I would say, from the demonic realm.
Amen.
You know, the things that are going on, I mean, you know, us humans, we're bad enough as it is. We're corrupt through and through. You know, we can't, you know, blame the demonic realm on this. But I think it's being piled on a little bit. At least that would be my assessment. And at least in where we live, in our land, it's good to note that helpful to note that we live in a post-Christian society. You know, our society is different than it, you know, than it used to be. The most holy faith, the Christian faith, is no longer the dominant influence in culture, in society, that was just kind of the guardrails of culture. It's not that we were, you know, really a Christian culture, but at least the Christianity had a, had an influence on society. And that influence no longer carries the weight that it once did. And the vacuum that Christianity has left in our society is being filled with something else. And it's being filled with a lot of evil something else's. Because our society is rushing headlong into becoming, I would say, a totally pagan society. You know, the vestiges of Christianity are few and far between. And as you look and you see what's going on, what's being promoted, it just seems... And it's not surprising, I would say, that there seems to be quite a bit of demonic activity going on in increased fashion. In fact, in overt fashion, in almost, you might say, an outward embrace of occultic things and pagan things. I mean, you know, we say that we're in a culture war in our society. It's not just a culture war. This is a religious war. Amen. It is a religious war, a spiritual battle between, you know, spiritual entities. I think it was just last weekend, my kids took me for a Father's Day lunch, and we rode up to eat some barbecue. And there was somebody in the restaurant that had a shirt on, and the shirt said this: "Satan is my spirit animal." You know, Satan is my spirit animal. You know, just I thought that was kind of stark, you know, a barbecue restaurant in Wellston, Oklahoma. Satan is my spirit animal. Satanic clubs are opening up in elementary schools in our land. I'm shocked at the clubs that are, you know, were at my daughter's middle school here in Oklahoma City. We talked about before, I mean, that satanic idol making the rounds in state capitals, you know, in the states in our country. In fact, there was a satanic ritual for a transgender transition to get a new name at the Utah state capitol. You know, these things are just becoming more prevalent. Again, last week... I saw a furry at Brahms. I don't know if you these furries. There's something going on
in Oklahoma City.
In Oklahoma City, the Brahms at 63rd. There was a furry with a tail and all. You know, and I'm just like, what's going on here in our world? And I'm going to say that there's some spiritual, yeah.
Carol said, "What's a furry?"
A furry, or some people, they sometimes they not just identify as a different gender, they identify as an animal, and have animal. You know, there's different parts, you know, of that. I won't get it. It's demented, but it's here. And the Bible talks about the decline and what happens, you know, and it's here. It's around. In fact, my kids, they were telling me about it, you know, at the schools, you know, kids toying around with some of this. In fact, with the kids, Daniel has a short YouTube video. This is, I don't know how long it is. It's just a cutesy little song. In fact, what's that?
2.5.
But it's just a 2.5 minute, just a cutesy little song about Satan that is targeting our youth. Again, it's made for kids, just to kind of get you a flavor of what's out there. So we'll hear.
Truth, let's help him the words of the girls.
Yeah, it's a snappy little tune, isn't it? They're out trying to teach the kids. I mean, they're after the young generation with this. They're out to deceive and to destroy, and it's out in the open. This is a religious, spiritual war that is going on in our, you know, in our society.
But they won't let you pray in school.
No. Yeah. Yeah. That. Yeah. You can't talk about the Bible, but you can have Satan clubs. You can, you know, do this and all of this stuff. It's an attack against God. It's an attack against the created order and these spiritual beings that hate God are on a full-throated, full-throttled attack against our great God and against His created order. And I thought about, you know, we could do a whole series on spiritual warfare, but I just want to just talk just briefly, mention just briefly, just some basics, just some do's and don'ts. Because just as angels are real, demons are real, Satan is real, and this is a real battle going on for the hearts and minds of people in our society. We shouldn't be ignorant of what's happening. You know, this is a spiritual war and a spiritual battle. And I'm sorry that I didn't debate that little song. It gets stuck in your head, and I hate to get it stuck in the, you know. But anyway, I thought it just, I mean, this is what's there. And this is what is being actively promoted, whether it's, the whole thing in Target and the, you know, Satan respects pronouns and, you know, and all the, I mean, it's just out there. But anyway, so let's think just briefly about the enemy, and let's just give a description of Satan, the devil, called the accuser. He is the slanderer. As opposed to what his little song says, he is real and a real powerful being. The Bible describes him as a cherub, one of these amazing creatures, a cherub, before a burning one, Lucifer. I mean, his name means light. I mean, lights, there have lumens, you know, luminescent. Even his name is in how we describe light, because he masquerades as an angel of light. That is who he is. Jesus says that he was a liar and a murderer from the very beginning. Before we began, before human beings came into being and God created us, Satan was already a liar and a murderer. He is the one that lied and murdered our first parents, killed their spirit, if you will. In 1 John 3:8, we read that he has been sinning from the beginning. From before our beginning, Satan was already sinning against God. Revelation 20 says one of the things that he does is he deceives the nations. This is what he does. He deceives the nations. There will come a point in history to where he will be restrained from that deceiving activity, but then he will be released again to go out and deceive the nations. And why are the nations deceived the way they are? Because Satan is actively deceiving them. In fact, later on in the book of Daniel, we're going to see, you know, some of this. Behind every kingdom, there is spiritual activity influencing the thrones, influencing those that are in power. Jesus says that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he does. He comes to steal life. He comes to kill. He comes to destroy. He is a destructive force to humanity. In fact, Peter tells us that he's like a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. And it seems like he's devouring a lot in our society. 2 Corinthians 4:4, he's referred to as the God of this world, who blinds the minds of unbelievers so they cannot understand the gospel. You know, I mean, he's actively working in those that hear the gospel to try to prevent them from understanding the gospel. He is trying to deceive. And in fact, the scripture says that the whole world has already been taken captive of the devil. In 2 Timothy 2, verses 25 and 26, I referenced one of these verses this morning, where that God would grant repentance for the knowledge of the truth. And then the next verse says, because Satan has already taken them captive to do his will. I mean, and it's not like humanity is in a neutral position in the spiritual battle. They've already been taken captive by God, and I mean taken captive by Satan. In fact, let me just read the last verses of 1 John 5. Find it here. 1 John 5, verse 19 says, "We know that we are of God, and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one." So the whole world is already under the influence and the power and the control of the evil one. And Satan, this evil one, this god of this age, if you will, has many minions, many devils that are on his side, if you will. Revelation talks about the dragon and his angels, the devil and his angels. And so there is a cohort of spiritual beings that followed Satan in his fall. There's not as many of them as there are the holy angels. There's an indication that Satan only took a third of the angels in his fall, but still there's a whole bunch of them. And these minions are very very active in our world. In fact, 1 Timothy 4:1, we see one of their activities. That the Spirit expressly says that in the latter time some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. The demons are going to be very active in the church. They are a deceiving spirit. We're told to test the spirits, and they will be promoting doctrines of demons. This is something that we have to be alert to, because demons promote bad doctrines in the church. So that's just a brief overview of our enemy, Satan and his demons. So what are we to do about it? How are we to deal with this, with these demons? How do we combat them and the many forms that they are warring against us in society, or in the, you know, in the church, or maybe in our own lives? And so what are some practical things to help? Let's start off here in 1 John 4:4. A good thing to remember in our battle against the demonic. 1 John 4:4, "You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." I think that's been our theme song at times. I mean, something that we sing often, and it's a good thing to remember. Satan is indeed a strong foe, but God is stronger. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And Jesus is the strong man that binds Satan. One of the things that Jesus did when he, the Son of God, he became man, he had his ministry before us, and one of his activities was casting out devils. He cast out the demons. In fact, he did it so often, and people were amazed. Those that hated him had this accusation against Jesus. It says, "Oh, well, it's by the power of Beelzebub that he's casting out demons. Oh, he's just using the power of Satan to cast out Satan." And Jesus is saying, "Dude, you better be careful here. Because a kingdom divided itself will not stand." And they were guilty, and or at least coming up to blaspheming the Holy Spirit, because Jesus, by the power of the Spirit, was casting out these demons. And he, in fact, let me just read part of this in Matthew 12. And he likens himself to a strong man in Matthew 12, verses 28 and 29. But he says, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Christ comes into the world. He's casting out the demons. And then he says the kingdom has come. And he says, but how can anyone enter the strong man's house and carry off his property unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? Christ says, he says, I'm a king and my kingdom has come down here. And yes, Satan is the god of this world and he's a strong man and he's taken the whole world captive. But guess what Christ does? Christ comes to plunder Satan's house. He comes to bind the strong man and steal his possessions, if you will. I mean, that's what he does. He redeems us. He pulls us out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. And Jesus says, I'm stronger than he. I'm stronger than the strong man. I bind the strong man and I take all his possessions. All these people that were in Satan's kingdom, I'm getting them and bringing them into my kingdom. And so Jesus, by his very ministry, all throughout his ministry, demonstrated his power over the demonic. And we need to take solace in this, that yes, it is an evil day. But guess what? God rules the day.
Amen.
And he tells us that the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. They can't stand up against Christ.
Amen.
Christ conquers them, and greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. In fact, Romans 16:20 says that soon God will crush Satan under your feet. You know, that in this spiritual battle, God's won the battle, he's going to win the battle, and he's going to crush Satan under our feet, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. But how do we go about this warfare? And let me just go over to Ephesians 6. This is the passage, Ephesians 6, on how to go about spiritual warfare. Let me just mention this stuff real quickly. Ephesians 6:10. Start off, finally be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. We can't do it on our own. The demonic realm is stronger than we are in and of ourselves. We cannot stand against them. They are a higher order of being than humanity. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so we're not to be strong in our own power. We're to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. You know, if we're gonna fight the demonic, we have to do it in the power of the Lord, because we are powerless against them. And then he says in verse 11, and put on the armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. We've got to armor up. We got to be prepared for battle. I mean, this is going to be a battle. It's going to be a warfare. The Christian life is a battle. It is a fight. The fight will be in your family. The fight will be in your own life. The fight will be in your church and your city. I mean, it is a battle, and we need to prepare for it and to be courageous in it. He says, you got to stand firm for the fight. We are to be courageous. And he tells us in verse 12 who we're fighting against. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. We're not battling people.
Amen.
We're battling the spiritual forces of darkness. And sometimes I think as the church, we got to remember this, that the people aren't our enemies. You know, we want to win the people, but we are fighting against these spiritual forces of darkness. We are to be engaged in this spiritual in this spiritual battle. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. We are fighting against Satan's forces as he wars against God and his created order and his holy rule. And then just real, he just kind of runs down. How are we to go about this? How are we to resist? Verse 13, we're to take up the full armor of God. We got to be prepared so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. We are to resist. This is how we deal with demons. We resist. And all the onslaught that's going on, you know, in culture and society and the church and what, we have got to stand against it and resist. We cannot capitulate to the advancement of the demonic realm. We are to resist, and the way that we do it, he gives it here. We resist. After having done everything to stand, and then verse 14, we stand firm, having girded your loins with truth. Satan is the father of lies. He speaks lies. He's about deceit. The way we resist lies is with truth. And we have to be people of truth. God is a God of truth, and so we have to deal with truth. This is how we battle lies, with truth. And lies are the language of the day. It is everywhere. Deceit is everywhere. Satan is a deceiver. But we battle it with truth. This is how we resist the devil, is with truth. And so we need to know the truth. The church is the pillar and the foundation of truth. And so we've got to be about the truth. Something else, having our loins girded with truth and having put on a breastplate of righteousness. You know, we are to be God's holy people. We're not going to be able to resist the devil too much if we're following the devil's ways. You know, if we are an unrighteous, unholy bunch, we're not going to resist very well. If we're buying his lies and living his lies, then guess what? We're not going to win our battles. We've got to have the belt of truth, and we've got to have a breastplate of righteousness. You know, the saints are to be sanctified. We are to be made holy, and the Holy Spirit's work in our life is to get the sin out of our life. And that is the one-on-one spiritual battles, where we are to put on righteousness, to put on the Lord Jesus as his righteousness is being worked out in our life. Another way that we battle in verse 15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel, the eternal gospel. I mean, we got to know the gospel. We got to preach the gospel. We got to live the gospel. We got to declare the gospel. We're all about the gospel. The good news, that's how we battle demons and their bad news. We battle it with the good news. Did I miss one here? Verse 16, somewhere I missed the helmet of salvation, didn't I?
No, it's down there.
Oh, it's down there. Yeah, oh yeah, verse 16. Yeah, in addition to all this, taking up the shield of faith by which you're able to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Faith. We battle with the gospel, and we battle by faith. You know, the unbelief of this age, we are believers. We war by faith, and that's how we extinguish the arrows of the evil one. Verse 17, and we take up a helmet of salvation. You know, we're going to win if we're saved. We have a gospel of salvation, a faith that links us to salvation, and we battle with salvation. And then and at the end of verse 17 and verse 18, we have, you might say, the two offensive weapons, taking the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, with all prayer and petition, praying at all times in the Spirit. We battle with the Bible, and we battle with prayer. You know, I mean, this is how we deal with demons. We resist by being people of truth, by being God's holy people and having a breastplate of righteousness, by knowing the gospel and sharing the gospel, by being people of faith, by being people who live out of salvation and who know the Word of God and who pray. That is how we battle the demonic forces of this age. We resist. That's how we do it. We resist. This is what James tells us. And really, that is our active battle, is in resisting the onslaught, in resisting the advancement. James 4:7. James 4:7. Is that right?
Yes. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Oh, yeah, okay, I was in 5. That's why I didn't look right. James 4:7. Yeah, that submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I mean, this is how, is this overly simplistic? That's what James tells us. We submit to God, and we resist the devil. The devil is going to tempt us. The devil, we resist him, and we submit to God. That's how we battle.
My whole life, I thought that you're prayed up, your faith is strong, that you can cast the devil and all his angels out of your body. Just cast them out in the name of Jesus and they're gone.
Yeah, we are to resist, to fight. God will crush Satan under our feet, but God is the one that does it. I don't have authority over the devils, but Jesus does. And greater is he that is in me, than he that is in the world. And in this battle, I resist. I stand firm. Another one, 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9. Be of sober spirit, be on an alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom someone to devour. So what do? But resist him firm in the faith. We stand against him. One more I'll just throw out there before I get to a don't. But a last do. In 1 Peter 10, verses 3 to 5, it says, our warfare is not, we don't wage in a war the way the world does. Wait, let me just read it so I don't mess it up here. 2 Corinthians, what's that?
Where did you say?
2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5, I'm sorry. So I probably did, all tongue-tied. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. I mean, guess what? We're not going to win the war in political ways. That's not the way the church fights. That's not our warfare. Not according to the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. For we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. The war that we wage against the demonic, it is a battle for the mind. I mean, it is a mindset that is out there that we are seeking to take all of those thoughts captive and making them obedience to the mind of Christ. That is the battle. Because guess what? A person's thinking dictates their acting.
Amen.
I mean, why is our world acting so crazy? Well, because they're thinking crazy. They're not thinking right. And our belief systems dictate and determine our behaviors. And so when behavior is way out there and just, you know, off the wall, it's because it's there's something going on the inside. People are thinking wrong. And so our battle is a battle for the mind, where we are applying the Word of God to how people think about things, to give us the right frame of thought, because we need to think God's thoughts after Him, to think about things the way God wants us to think about things. And that's how we battle. That is how we battle the demonic. And it is a battle. It's a battle for the mind. You know, that's why we got to be people of truth amidst all the lies and deception. But those are just briefly some news. We got just a few minutes left. And I want to mention a big note. But before I do any other thing I want to add about the do's, I know that was just really quick. Like I said, we could spend a lot of time in that, but I just kind of wanted to throw it out there. Okay, a don't. You know, we're to be about some do's and to be active in the spiritual warfare, but there is, I think, one really big don't that I think that we need to be aware of in dealing with demonic activity and the demonic realm. Because demons are celestial beings. They are the angelic realm, both the elect angels as well as the evil angels. They are a higher order than us. There is a proper order of creation, a created order, and, you know, as human beings, we're made over the animals and the plants, and there's lower life forms that are below us. But guess what? There are some life forms that are above us. You know, we are made a little lower than the angels. And the angelic realm, and I would say even the demonic realm, they are a higher order of life form. And so we need to be careful in how we interact or even talk to this higher order of life form. They're a higher order than us. We're warned we're not to worship them, you know, to give them undue attention or honor or whatever. But you know that we are strongly warned against not slandering celestial beings, whether it is angels or even whether it is demons. We have to be careful in our spiritual warfare and when we battle the demonic forces that we do not slander even evil angels and their evil activity. And we're going to look at just a couple of verses as we close here. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and following. This is a chapter dealing with false prophets. Peter's coming down on the false prophets, and he's kind of given a litany, a list, so that we'll be able to recognize them. You know, this is what these jokers are like. And here he gives a description of something that false prophets do in relation to the demonic, that can be a telltale sign that they are a false, that they're a false prophet. Look at 2 Peter 2 and verse 9. And then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. So God's going to punish the ungodly here. And especially those who indulge the flesh in its corrupt desires and despise authority. So he says, you know, God's going to judge people, but especially there's a certain group of people. God's really going to come down on them because they despise authorities. He says they're daring, self-willed, and they do not tremble when they revile angelic majesties. Whereas angels, who are greater in might and power, do not bring a reviling judgment against them before the Lord. But these, like unreasoning animals, born as creatures of instinct to be captured and killed, reviling where they have no knowledge, will in the destruction of those creatures also be destroyed. So here, this is a passage about God's going to get these false prophets. And one thing about these false prophets is that they despise authority. They revile angelic majesties. They don't respect the proper order of creation. I mean, there is an order of creation, and they don't respect that order. In fact, they do things that even God's holy angels don't do. You know, when God's holy angels battle against Satan and his evil angels, they do not revile them. They do not slander them. That's something even holy angels do not do. But there is a group of false teachers and false prophets that they're just like unreasoning animals. And so when they try to interact with the demonic realm, they do it in such a disrespectful and an unknowing way that they begin to meddle in things that they do not understand, and they slander these celestial beings. I've heard it on the TV. Oh, you know, I'm going to dot the devil's eye, you know, and oh boy, they're just, you know, they're just going to take out the devil. You know, there's an account in the Bible of some of these guys in Acts chapter 19. There were seven sons of Sceva. They just thought they were something else. And they wanted to start exercising these demons. And so they said, hey, we're, you know, in the name of Jesus who Paul preaches, they're trying to go and cast out demons and just to take on the demonic realm in their own power. And a demon answered these guys. And he says, dude, I know Jesus and I've heard about Paul, but who in the world are you? And you remember what happened to that guy? This one demonic guy, I mean, he opens up a whole can on these seven dudes and he beats them up and he strips them naked and they come out naked and bleeding. I mean, they entered into a realm in a unqualified in a disrespectful way, and they slandered celestial beings, and they got beat up because they didn't go in the right way. They did not respect the proper order of things. And do you know that false teachers do this with the demonic? They're so puffed up in pride that they think they can take on the demonic. And you know, we can only do that in the Lord. In fact, there's one of the book of Jude, the next to the last book of the Bible, Jude 8. This same kind of thing is brought up. Jude verses 8 through 11. In the same way, these men, by dreaming, they're dreamers, they're always telling you what they're dreamers, they defile the flesh, they reject authority, and they revile angelic majesties. This is what they do. You know, in their supposed spiritual warfare, there's a demon behind every rock, and boy, I'm just going to go get them, and you know, I'm going to do. And they're just reviling these angelic majesties. But Jude tells us, but Michael the archangel, boy, this is a big one, right? You know, we're going to run into him in Daniel. Michael the archangel, I mean, he's high up there. When he was disputing with the devil and arguing about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke you. You know that even when Michael the archangel is fighting against Satan and his cohorts, he didn't trash talk the demons. You know, I mean, you know, the NBA finals is going on. You know, in sports, there's a lot of trash talking. Do you know that when we are engaged in spiritual warfare, there's not to be any trash talking? This is a big don't when we deal with demons, because even Michael the archangel does not trash talk Satan and his evil cohorts. Oh, but there's a certain group that does. Verse 10, but these men revile the things which they do not understand, and the things which they know by instinct like unreasoning animals, so by these they are destroyed. I mean, they're like the seven sons of Sceva. Man, they're getting into things they don't know anything about, and they're trash talking in matters that they just ought to keep their mouths shut. So when we're dealing with demons, that there is an active spiritual warfare that we're in. We're to resist. We're to, you know, the how the Bible tells us to deal with them. But we are never to trash talk. We don't trash talk the demonic realm. And if you ever see these, well, I hate to call them preachers, these jokers, trash talking the demonic realm, let a big red flag go off. That's what false teachers do. That's how they engage in a spiritual warfare, and that's a bad sign. In fact, I was going to look for some videos of this because I haven't watched religious television in a while, but it used to be pretty prevalent, you know, to where, boy, these guys would just trash talk the demons. And this is something this is not the way to go about demonic dealing with demons and in spiritual warfare. It's a real warfare, but that's not how we're to go about it. But anyway, those were just a few quick thoughts on some do's and don'ts in dealing with demons. I know it was quick, but I think we are going to end it tonight. We might move on to something else unless I get an urge to keep going next time on this. But any thoughts on that? Yes.
I have a question. And the Gospels are full of demon-possessed people. Is that present in our day? Can we tell if somebody's demon-possessed?
Yes.
I don't know how good, you know, I mean, how I could, ascertain that in each individual case, but I would say, yes, it is here. I've had some encounters, you know, before that I've really wondered if, if there was a possession involved or you know, what's going on, demonic oppression. I mean, I've been in services and even that time you heard, man, it just seems like there is a spiritual battle going on. You know, you can almost feel it. But I've seen some individuals and it's just like, man, it just seems like that would be a demonic activity. I don't know. There is one preacher I highly respect, and he was talking about a time where he was called to do an exorcism, you know, for this girl, and the Bible talks about it. I don't think it was just in that time in history, and I think that in our time in history, especially since the light of the gospel is getting dimmer, darkness is coming in, and I think demonic activity, at least we're made more aware of it. But that would just be my guess. But how to, you know, for sure recognize it, I don't know. That's beyond me, you know, on a case-by-case best basis.
I don't know that it's really something we will recognize on our own, partly because it seems that there is such progress being made to try and make these things seem normal and to find seemingly natural labels to explain this or that behavior. Best thing I can say is pray for discernment.
Yeah. Wouldn't our spirit be...
Yeah, they...
That depends on your spiritual health, though. And a lot of this is Christians being lulled to sleep. And they're not awake and paying attention, so their spirit's not doing anything either. So,
yeah, John tells us in 1 John, we're to test the spirits to see whether they are of God, you know, because there are other spirits. In fact, Paul in Corinthians gets on, you know, to that church because there were some possessed people in the church claiming to be prophesying, but saying Jesus is cursed.
And this was going on in the church, and Paul was saying, hey, nobody that has the Spirit of God is going to say this. This is a demonic spirit that is in your church assembly. You know, you got to do something about this, you know. And so, you know, there's the doctrine of demons that comes into the church. And so we are to test the spirits, and you know, the Holy Spirit in us, I think, will give us a discernment. I think there's a gift, a discerning of spirits. I think God does enable, you know, certain people with the gift that maybe they, you know, they're in tune, you know, with this maybe more than other believers. But you know, but we ought to pray for discernment, because it is, you know, there is a religious war going on. It is a spiritual battle. It's not just against people. There are spiritual forces, you know, behind what is going on, not only in society, but in our denomination. I mean, this is a spiritual battle. And so we have to battle in a biblical way, you know, with truth, with righteousness, with the gospel, with taking thoughts captive. You know, that's how we have to battle it, and not the way other, you know, the way everybody else battles things. But I don't know. Well, y'all ready for cake?
Talk about demons,
and let's go have chocolate cake.
We got to sing happy birthday to the peoples.
Okay, well, why don't we close in prayer, then you lead us in happy birthday for all the June birthdays, and then June, will you lead us in there, and then we'll get after it. Our Father, Lord, we do thank you for telling us about things we wouldn't know anything about if you didn't reveal it. And Lord, I do pray that you would keep us from error. We're so prone to it. We're prone to wander. And Lord, keep us within your word. But Lord, strengthen us, empower us by your Spirit as we battle these spiritual forces in our own families, in our church, in society. And Lord, empower us to stand firm and to resist the devil in this evil day. In Christ's name, amen.